Is any better now, folks?
Yes, I can. Yes,
yeah, that's great. Thanks, Roshid.
Okay, sorry about that, folks. All right. So do we have any apologies?
Chair, can I just apologize on it? I have to go here at 10 past 7. Have another meeting at 10, unfortunately. Thank you.
No problem, Robert. Thank you. Okay. Item number 2, declarations of interest.
None, Chair.
Chair, can I just declare an interest in item number 6? Actually, no input into it, but I'm asked a lot of questions from that group, so just to keep myself right in case I become Sir Keir Starmer out of the blue.
No problem, Robert. Thank you for that. Okay. All right, well, if we're content, then we'll move on to item number 3, which is a presentation by Owen McGuinness from the University of Ulster regarding the UEPC Spring Economic Outlook. So, Owen, over to yourself. Thank you.
That's it, yeah. I'll just leave the microphone off on the other on Teams, yeah. So thanks very much, Chair, and I'll sort of speak now for the next 10 or so minutes. It's more or less an update on where we are. Our forecast came out March time, and even since then we can see quite a lot of uncertainty really in the picture, or unpredictability. I think there's one thing we can be fairly certain about, and that is that inflation will be with us. That's going to be a kind of key factor over the next probably certainly 12 and maybe 24 months. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. And I think the other thing that we could see, there was talk last week that could start to really impact very strongly on consumer demand and what that might mean for us locally in terms of tourism, retail, all of that needs to be seen. So I think there's a lot of downsides to the forecasts. So just with that in mind, and I think even probably the downside risks have increased since March, since we put the forecasts out. So it's a bit like the weather this evening, not great, and forecasts do not improve anytime soon. So basically, just I'll take you through the normal things that we do. We're expecting the employment to start in the north to start recovering fairly strongly this year and into next year, and to be certainly by later this year, if not before that, to be kind of surpassing where it was pre-pandemic. So the recovery from the pandemic has been very sharp in the labour market. We've seen that even if you kind of take the numbers. There was around about 3,500 on furlough locally, and there was talk, you know, that perhaps 90% of those people returned into the jobs they were in. So very kind of strong recovery, even in people who were still furloughed at the end of that period of September. And we're expecting to see that to continue. Even on the downside, we would still expect to see a good rise in numbers of jobs overall in the north. GVA also expected to kind of increase certainly this year, not as strong as last year, and then going back in 2023. Now, that could go back quite a bit. You've kind of seen some forecasts recently from the SRA for the South and the Bank of England for the UK as a whole, forecasting that there could be a couple of quarters next year at least where there'd be no growth at all, and potential for a recession, a mild recession next year. So we could see that come back still further. Most of this is kind of down to inflation, as I said earlier, and the talk really now is that we would have had out that inflation would go to around about 9% and peak this year when we looked at it in March. That really now could be undershooting it by a percentage point or two. It could go higher than 10%, which is, as you can see from the chart, that's going back to 1990 figures on the left-hand side. We're on unheralded territory, really, we haven't seen since the 70s and 80s. Now, the good news might be, but this really depends on a number of factors, particularly energy prices, is that it may come back sharply next year. But I think bear in mind that even if it comes back to sort of around about weekend, and then come back into next year, come back quite sharply. And depending on one really key thing, and that is where energy prices go in the autumn, if we see a further surge in energy prices, all bets are off on that. We could be looking at another year beyond next year of inflationary increases. So that's something to watch out. And you can see, when you look at where inflation's at the moment, more than 50% of the driving of inflation is energy prices. So that's something to be there. And the key thing, question really, for consumers and for households is that household income is going to fall for the first time since the 1970s this year. I suspect this is OBR numbers from March. I suspect that could be the same next year as well. So we could see a couple of years where, you know, inflation outstrips income growth. That'll raise questions, I think, around wages and so on as we go into next later this year and next year as well. But that in itself is going to have a negative effect on demand, for sure. So the forecasts, we've some of that inflationary effects built in, but most of the forecasts really are still around the kind of the hangover from COVID. You can see there the short-term forecasts show the impact that COVID had on sort of growth in 2020. In 2021, good sharp recovery locally here. We would expect of figures to be sort of around about 7% growth in 2021. And we're expecting to see growth this year in Newry and Mourne of in around 3 or 4%. So good strong growth for those couple of years to come. And that's, you know, an important driver then of employment growth as well. We would still expect, even with inflation, to see good, strong employment growth up to, you know, from really up to around 78,000 jobs, workplace jobs in the council area by 2030. And that's a 7% increase on where we are at the moment. So that's a good, strong increase. You can kind of see, I suppose, were the sectors that that's likely to be in. Manufacturing and health have been key driving sectors over the last 10 years, and we're expecting to see manufacturing to continue there, but also construction to drive growth. Now, construction is one that is very dependent on where inflation goes, so that's probably one to watch. That's pretty much the canary in the coal mine. If construction costs continue to rise, projects will be put off. There's no question investment will be put off, so we'd have to kind of see where that goes. Retail is beginning to show the kind of the tailing off of that, and that includes wholesale. So if you had no wholesale or that type of side on that, retail jobs would be well down over the next decade. So we're seeing a bit of a shift from retail over into wholesale, into the kind of distribution end, but nonetheless we're expecting to see a fall off in that, and that probably, if not mainly, will be seen on the high street. I think that's something that we're, you know, in all council areas is going to have to be faced over the next while. One thing, though, with that kind of rise in employment, you know, of in around sort of 7% growth over the decade, you will see a fall off in unemployment and in activity. And there is like talk where we're already in a very tight labour market. We're already in a period of almost full employment as we stand at the moment. It certainly is an issue around sort of filling vacancies at the moment. And I think there's a kind of question there about just, you know, where labour's going to come from in the next while, over the next while. That in itself, I think, could have an upward pressure on wages too, that you can actually start to ask more in work, which would be, you know, for those who are in work, is certainly no harm for that. I've had a message just saying, hold on here, trying to get me back into the meeting. Not quite sure what the story is there. You're all okay, yeah? I wonder if it's something to do with me coming in from the guest. Am I back now? I'm back, but I'm not changing the screens, the only thing. Do you want me to just talk on through? Right. So one and another pressure when you not only have the kind of growth in employment, we're also beginning to see demographic pressures. So I suppose, and what I mean by that is the working age population is beginning to shrink or at least not grow as fast as it was over the last while. So, and you will begin to see that even locally where, you know, that 18 to 64 age group, the number of that within the population is beginning to fall. So that's a, another factor there which will cause tight labour market too. So population in resident working age population in Uri will grow by about 6,000. But bear in mind where I was talking about that there's going to be 7,000 or 8,000 jobs, 7 or 8% growth in the actual employment opportunities. It's going to be difficult to, you know, it's not going to be difficult for all those people to get into work, but it's going to be, we're going to need to be attracting more people into the area to work here. So the attractiveness of the area is going to be a key factor. So that, I think, are the two main challenges. One is in around the cost of living crisis, which I don't think is going to go very far away from us. But the other issue is in around a tight labour market that we are going to see. And that's a new feature for Newry and Mourne. If I was to come here, been speaking here 20 years ago and talking about that, we were talking about an unemployment crisis very often in the past. Now we're talking about tight labour markets, an era of full employment. So we're faced, I think, with two issues. One is in around about attracting labour into the area and what we can do to make the quality of life as attractive as possible. And I think the other one then is we still have a big pool of people who are inactive for various health reasons, caring duties and so on and so forth. So it's kind of saying, is there a way that we can kind of incentivize, make it easier, facilitate people to return to the workplace from there? I think there's still a pool of people there that for many, for very genuine reasons, can't come into the work labour market. So it's trying to find ways of making that access to your labour market easier for those people. I certainly wouldn't be off the mind of using benefit sanctions on that. I think it has to be the attractiveness piece. So I suppose when, and in the slides that were shared with you, the considerations really, I would have highlighted, I would highlight a couple of those with some of those that are kind of known uncertainties in around kind of work quality and around the labour market tightness and around cost of living pressures, the protocol, which are all going to be uncertainties where they'll kind of settle over the next while, but trying to kind of provide a lead in those or look at those or understand those without becoming too distracted from the other strategies in the council is probably a key factor. Another one I would highlight is in around innovation. I think that's going to be a key word and trying to understand what that means locally, what those transitions might mean. So in a sense, what that is going to mean as a key factor for people who are in work is that the nature of their jobs are going to change over the next decade. And it's trying to make those changes work for people now. It could be remote working, but it's also going to be other things, the functions that you do and how you do those functions are going to change. So that investment in skilling and reskilling for people in work, I think is going to be a key factor. And a third thing then I would say is in around inactivity. And I've mentioned that just there now. How do we actually bring people closer to the labour market who, for various reasons, have been kind of closed out of the labour market, maybe for health conditions, as I say, caring duties. And probably a key group now that we're seeing is people who are leaving work in their 50s, often related to COVID over the last 2 years, coming out of work, going on to furlough, leaving work. Is there potential to bring some of those people back into the labour market? I think we're going to need all the people we can get and all the skills and all the experience. So it'll be different challenges for the labour market partnership than maybe might have been the case 20 years ago. But nonetheless, there will be issues there to be addressed. So maybe leave it at that, Chair. And happy to take any questions.
Thanks, Chair. Just before we take questions, I just advise you that we will circulate a copy of the presentation to all members after the meeting.
Owen, thank you for that presentation. That was a very comprehensive report there. I'd like now just to invite anyone if they want to make a comment or ask a question. Dermot, are you looking to come in there?
Just very briefly, in relation to the construction business, like out there at the present time, and, you know, I mean, we do need houses, we do need structural buildings. We haven't got people, to, like carpenters and bricklayers, and haven't got those. And the colleges are not putting those forward as a way forward for, you know, future careers and things like that there. How do you see that being overcome?
I think, Councillor, that has become a probably the first sector. You know, we've seen it in maybe niche areas and other sectors, but it's the first general sector that I've begun to see that tightness in the labour market probably a few years ago, and that's only increased over the last while. And it certainly is one where the pool or the pipeline of people coming out of apprenticeships and coming out of the colleges hasn't been there. The college can offer places for people, and there could be apprenticeships offered, but it goes back to, I think, it goes back to schools, and it goes back to parents, and it goes back to that issue of seeing construction in the round as a kind of a place that people want to work in and a career for people. And I think one of the things I would say about it is that, you know, having family who worked in that, it's certainly not the job it was in terms of, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago. The technology and some of the other things that you need to have as well are kind of key to that. It's one of those sectors where, you know, digital things have come in fairly strongly in the last while. So there's opportunities there that it's not just about the kind of trades, that there are other opportunities right across the board in construction. But the companies, when you talk to them, are finding it and have been finding it very, very difficult to fill. It probably raises the other issue around Brexit, and that is the whole question around how attractive we now are to people to kind of come here and work. And that is, that is certainly one of those unavoidable ones. I think Brexit made the North, as much as other parts of, as much as the GB, feel a less attractive place to be. And I think that is a factor in it. So I don't think that can be, that can be avoided or ignored. You know, we need to find ways of not only kind of getting more out of our own people there, but we still need to find ways of attracting labour from elsewhere.
Thank you, Owen. Councillor Mulgrew, are you looking in there?
Yeah, thank you. I have to say there's nothing there that really cheers me up. I'm sitting here wondering who's going to look after me when I'm old and decrepit. The workforce is not going to be there. The inflation at 10%, God help young families in the next 12 months. I don't know how they're going to do it, you know. And, you know, I was collecting my grandchildren from school this afternoon, and I was talking to the principal of the school, and I'll tell you what, he was just talking about the weekend and the election and Stormont and all the rest. And he was saying, like, the money that we could be putting into people's pockets. And he was saying, in a few weeks' time, we are going to be, families here are going to be out buying school uniforms and school bags and shoes and all of that sort of stuff. And they desperately need that money. He also talked about, you know, the fact that there was no information coming through about whether there was financial support for summer schemes, you know, for children, and children that come from families that are already struggling. And do you know what? It's an absolute crying shame, you know, that we are not coming together to try and resolve this, because I have a daughter who has four children under the age of six, and I worry about how they will pay their bills next year. You know, and, you know, we're getting that day and daily in our office. And, you know, it's just, it's frightening scenario for those people, you know. And like, I don't know. I mean, we see time and time again that, you know, you talk to people who have left our health service, and they've left because they felt that they were undervalued and certainly underpaid. You know, and like, when are we going to get real and start putting a proper value on people? You know, and like, I just find that so concerning as to how our young families are going to make ends meet. And, you know, it certainly doesn't fill me with any sense of joy. And the world is such an uncertain place, as you have said, Owen. You know, you're hoping that things might change and that, you know, inflation will drop quickly, you know. But again, it might not. It might not. You know, and, you only need to starve once, you know, like, I don't know how long these families can go on. And it's really, really concerning that, you know, in the 21st century, that our families, our working families, have their backs to the wall, and it's really, really concerning. And I hope to God that those that have the ability to put measures in place to support families get their ass down to their desk and get this sorted as best as they can.
Thank you, Councillor McGree. Councillor McMurray, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry I couldn't be there this evening. Just wanted, it was a comment rather than a question. To thank Mr. McGuinness for that presentation. I was glad to hear Mr. Mallon say it percolated, because unfortunately it dropped out, because the slides were very useful. The trouble with it is sometimes economics is quite a heavy subject, and sometimes it can take a bit of time to soak in. So it would be really, really good if useful if these sort of presentations, if they could, I mean, they're so useful, I mean, they're so good to see, and I thank Mr. McGuinness for taking the time to come and present and collate all that, because it certainly is fascinating, and it certainly would be useful, thing to, I don't know if it can be quarterly or half yearly or something like that, in order to keep an eye and sort of get the grips with the subject, because it is incredibly fascinating but also incredibly important. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor McMurray. I don't see anyone else looking to come in, so I suppose, Owen, just on behalf of myself, thank you for your presentation again this evening. And I suppose, as you say, the cost of living crisis is something we're very well aware of, and it's impacting every house and every home at the minute. Again, just as Councillor McGree had said, and it's up to everyone that has that in their power to get their, get things going to make sure that we're delivering for our families and for our people, and helping those who are in crisis out at the minute. But thank you, Owen, for your presentation this evening.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, so if we move on with the meeting then, item number 4 is the action sheet from the meeting on Monday the 11th of April 2022. So we'll go through it page by page. Page 1, page 2, and page 3. And can I have a proposer?
Happy to propose, Chair.
Councillor Andrews. I need just a seconder first for that.
Sorry.
Councillor Hart seconded there, yep. Okay. Glyn, can you hear us okay?
No, I can't really. It comes and goes there very much. So sometimes there's no sound, and then just completely comes and goes. I shut the computer down and turned it on. Come on, this time, it has.
Glyn, you need to get back into the chamber and join us in here. You just have to come back in. There's tea and coffee and all the night here as well, so hopefully it'll work all right from here on. Dermot, if you're looking to come in there.
I need a proper feed, Shadu Roisin.
What's that?
I need what a proper feed. Tea and coffee's not much good to me.
Well, you must stop on Friar Talks or something on the way in, Glenn, but here, I'm going to let Councillor Kern in here.
Well, thank you very much, sir. It's in relation to the report on the museum. Is there any update here on that museum together? And is a part-time officer now being funded in relation to Hans Sloan? What will that officer be doing in relation to Hans Sloan in the museum? Just a very brief update on the position that the museum's in now.
I'm going to let Andy Patterson take that, if that's okay, Councillor Kern.
Thank you, Chair. The following committee last month, the terms of reference was for the review of the museums was approved through council last week. So we'll now move forward with the appointment of a relevant expert to deliver that review. So we anticipate that to be in the next 2 to 3 weeks in terms of the appointment, after which update will be brought back through committee. Yeah, sorry, just on that one. So that's a fully funded post through the British Museum for the appointment of an officer to deliver a specific project themed on Hans Sloan. So there's actually a paper for noting there in the agenda tonight.
Thank you, Councillor Kern. Okay, so item number 5 is the 4C Your Future Skills Base event on the 9th of June, and that's yourself, Jonathan.
Yes, Chair, the Council had previously agreed to support this event. However, we've now moved to a sort of virtual event and costs have increased. The aim of the event is really around promoting skill sets within industry, engagement between industry employers and the schools, particularly 13-year-old students making their GCSE choices, Chair. So we're recommending the council contribute £6,000 to the event to be held in June of this year, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. McGilley. Terry, you're looking to propose and you want to come in with a comment?
Yes, I do. First of all, I'd like to thank you for delivering the paper, and I do welcome the council support in such an important event, especially for the young people in our district. So happy to propose. Thank you.
And do you have a seconder for that item?
I would second that, sure.
Okay, Councillor Kern. All right, okay. Item number 6 is the International Relations Agreement with Lamorlé, am I right, in the north of France? Lamorlé, sorry.
Yep. Chair, the council had previously agreed back in March 2020 to enter into an agreement with Lamorlé. Chair, there's a fairly detailed paper there which outlines the aims and objectives of the partnership. For obvious reasons, due to COVID, the programme of activity has been suspended, and the aim is to revisit that this year. A proposal has been forwarded, and the recommendation is that the council progress with the arrangement and a contribution of £10,000 towards this over a 5-year period, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. McGilley. Councillor Andrews, you're looking to propose and you have a comment?
Yes, well, thank you very much. And first of all, I would like to commend the officers for presenting the paper tonight. I know when I was deputy chair of the council, I represented the council out at Lamorlé. And I've seen it firsthand, the sterling work that has been done by the Twilling Group and also with their counterparts in Lamorlé. I think it's very important that the relationships that have been built upon over the years be strengthened further. So I'm only too happy to propose that we go ahead. And also in relation to Twilling, I know several years ago, before I was in council, all the former Down Legacy area were twinned with the likes of New Ross and Bazons and stuff. And I'm just wondering, will the council be re-looking at twinning again and more or less renewing previous associations, you know, that especially with lapse with COVID and everything? So again, happy to propose the Lamorlé and to commend all involved for bringing this forward so far. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. And do I have a seconder for that item? Councillor Kern.
Yes, I'd be delighted to second that item, because any relationship we have with France in the past, and I know from my own council, the old Down District Council we had on there, and it did create a lot of interest and a lot of people coming back and forward, and there was an increase in visitor spend. So I'd be delighted to second that.
Thank you, Councillor Kern. Okay, move on then to item number 7, which is the service level agreement on the Lunasa Festival 2022. That's yourself, Mr. McGilley.
Yes, Chair. This again has been another event that's been ongoing for some time and was delayed for a number of years due to COVID, Chair. So the recommendation is that we enter into a service level agreement to deliver the event this year with Oriel Events Limited, along with the working group, Chair, that organise the event. That's part of the AONB plan and is funded through that plan. So the recommendation is to service level agreement of £25,000 for the event, Chair, from the existing budgets.
Thank you, Mr. McGilley. Councillor McGree, you're looking to propose and comment?
Yes, sure. Happy to propose. And it's fantastic to see these events actually getting back up and running. I know they have provided a lot for the wider community and also for visitors coming into the area. So absolutely brilliant to see them starting up again. So happy to propose.
Thank you. Councillor Savage, you're second. Would you like to make comment?
Yes, just to echo Councillor McGree's sentiments, I think it's important that these festivals are back on our clar for the year ahead. And, you know, this is a great festival, always has been, and I'm happy to support the proposal put forward and second the proposal. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Savage. Okay, item number 8, we'll be taking a closed session. So item number 8 is deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of Local Government Act 2014. Information relating to financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information and the public, may be by resolution be excluded during these items of business. Can I have a proposer for going in and seconder for going to closed session?
So proposed.
Councillor McGree and Councillor Andrews.
Chair, can I... didn't notice that in this item in relation to the Carnarford Law Commission, as I said on the Carnarford Law, I wanted to clear an interest and step out of this.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Savage. Okay, so we've closed session. Item number 8, Newry River Channel Markers Maintenance Agreement. On the proposal of Councillor Mulgrew, seconded by Councillor Stokes, it was agreed that Council enter into a new service level agreement with Carlingford Lough Commission to maintain 10 navigational markers within the Newry River from Narrowwater to Victoria Lough Gates and to approve payment for maintenance costs for this past 5 years as set out in section 4.1 of the report dated the 9th of May 2022 from Mr Patterson, Assistant Director of Tourism, Culture and Events. Okay, folks, so items number 9 to 16 are for noting only, and if you have any queries on those items, I would recommend that you pick them up with the officers as listed on the reports. Can I have just a proposer and a seconder for those?
Chair proposed.
Councillor Kern and Councillor Mulgrew. Okay, thank you. Well, folks, as this is my last night as Chair of ERT, it would be remiss of me not to thank Connor, Jonathan and Andy for their support throughout these meetings, to Louise, Tracy and Patricia for all their help, and Terry, obviously, as the Vice-Chair, the members of the committee for persevering with me, and to my own party members for their advice and guidance throughout this. So thanks very much, folks.
Chair, thank you very much. And just it's hard to believe where the time has gone to since the last year, whenever we were appointed by our respective parties, for you to be chair and deputy chair. It was a great pleasure to work alongside you. Nothing was ever a problem. And I say we made a great team along with the committee members also. And also, I'd like to thank the officers, Connor and the team, and to Louise and everybody who worked tirelessly behind the scenes to make sure that everything in the department run smoothly, and to making sure that the meetings were on time and operated smoothly. So again, it was a pleasure to work alongside you, Roisin, and thanks to the members for their support. And I wish the new chair and new vice chair all the best in the world, whoever they are. So thanks very much.
Thank you, Terry. Councillor Mulgrew, are you looking to make a comment?
Yes, Chair, just put it into the chat just to say well done to yourself and Terry. Meetings were always conducted in a particularly professional manner and in a swift manner, which was always very good. So many thanks to you both.
Must be something in the name, Roisin. Councillor McMurray.
Yeah, Chair, no, just again to extend the thanks. I say everything was terribly well chaired, and I know how much fun it is being in that chair, so I'm sure you'll be reluctant to leave it. But no, thank you for the previous year, and game well played. Thank you.
Thanks very much, that's folks. Great. Okay, let's not hold you up any longer, folks. All right, so, Dermot, sorry.
I just want to wish you all the best for the future and to thank you for the way in you conducted this, the chair for the business meetings, for the meetings. I have saw many chairs in the council not conducting them in the same manner in which you did. I want to thank you for that and your partner.
Thanks very much for that, Dermot. Thank you. And thank you, Councillor Savage, for your kind words and the comments as well. And look, I always kept meetings brief. Tonight's not going to be any different, so I'll let you all get home. All right, folks, thank you. Safe home.
Bye.